The series that we are in doesn't have a name, but it's Joshua Judges Ruth. Joshua judged Ruth because he was just a judgmental guy. Dad joke. I want to spend a little time, if you can have some grace for me. Have any of you ever done a thought bubble before? You put like your job in the middle and then you branch out all the things that you do or you're thinking. I used to be so disorganized, and I was in a different job where Dory, who's here, was my manager, and she actually taught me how to do thought bubbles so that I could get everything in. But she doesn't know this, but I do them and they help me organize, but I often do them backwards now. So I put like everything out there and then I try to draw lines, and it doesn't necessarily work all the time, but when it does work, it's a very magical moment. And so tonight we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about so that in the days to come we can talk about what we're talking about and we'll know how we're supposed to talk about it. We're going to have less interaction because we're recording these. And so just process, think, talk about it before, talk about it after. I'm going to share some ideas. I'm not claiming to be right. I will be persuasive. And I think it's important because how we read the Bible, there's a lot of things at stake. How we read the Bible and how we use the Bible impacts how we are in relation to people around us. And so I want to start by saying this. In John chapter 1, this is not the Old Testament, I'm sorry. But it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that is referring to Jesus, right? In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So when we read Genesis 1, we can see, oh, Jesus was there. He was making everything with God. But what we get when we read John is he says Word. He uses capital W. Jesus is the capital W, Word of God. But we also call this the Word of God. We call the Bible the Word of God, and we often will refer to it. Some people will refer to it as the uppercase Word of God, but usually it is a lowercase Word of God, and Jesus is the big W, Word of God. Meaning this, Jesus is what God has to say. And that has to be our premise. If we're going to talk about the Old Testament, if we're going to talk about is God angry, if we're going to dive into some of this stuff, we need to understand that Jesus, the capital W, Word of God, is the thing that God ultimately has to say. And everything must bow to Jesus. That doesn't mean we're going to discredit things. That doesn't mean we're going to throw things out. But it does mean that Jesus is what God has to say. Let me give you an example of how this plays out. A long time ago, there were a bunch of theories formed. They're all called theories of atonement. Whoa. They're all called theories of atonement, all right? These theories work like this. One of them was ransom theory. God and the devil were equals, and so God paid the devil with Jesus so that he could have us back. That was actual atonement theory back in the day. It's like a yin-yang thing. Another one was the moral theory. God just wanted to prove how much he loved us. God just wanted to like prove to us he loved us, and so he said, I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them by allowing my son to die. Just like he proved it or something. Is Dan leaving? I hope Dan's not leaving. No. Oh, okay. Somebody go give him a hug before he leaves if that's the case. All right. And then the other one was substitutionary atonement. God was angry. God needed payment for sin. Sin couldn't enter into the holiness of God, and so Jesus paid that price for us. And all of these are referenced and talked about and can be defended with Scripture and with the Bible, okay? What I'm getting at is when we, when people engage with who they think God is by reading the Old Testament, and then later Jesus enters the picture, people have to take into account and try to make Jesus work with the God that they thought they knew. And this has been happening since Israel was wandering the desert, trying to figure out what this God is about. Israel was constantly, and we are constantly, trying to figure out who God is, what God is doing, what God is thinking, how is God's character, how does God relate to us. And then, at some point in history, Jesus entered the scene and did things differently, and that caused a cog in the wheel. Because everyone was like, well, what do we do now with that? Here's what we thought of God, and here is who Jesus is saying who God is, and actually saying, I am God, but not everything feels or seems like it's lining up. The answer to that, from my perspective, is, oh, that's simple. You thought God was all these things, and you listed them out, and you wrote them down, and you talked about them, and God was fine with that, but there did come a point where He needed to say what He needed to say. He needed to speak His word, and then Jesus showed up and said, this is what God is like. And so we have a premise, we have a gift that we can use when we're studying the Bible, starting with the Old Testament. We can say this: God is like Jesus. God has always been like Jesus. We haven't always known this, but we do now. And this is throughout history. I'm talking about humanity as a whole. God is like Jesus. God has always been like Jesus. We as humanity have not always known this, but we do now. Some of the things I'm referencing are this theologian Brian Zahn. I'm referencing the book that you guys are doing in your book study. But if God is like Jesus, and there are times when we engage with the Old Testament and He doesn't seem like Jesus, then we have to ask ourselves some questions at that point. And this is the work we're going to do during the next few sessions. Because if you find a point where you see a God who doesn't look like Jesus, you have to understand a few things. God is like Jesus, and because it doesn't appear to you that way, now we have to do some work. The last thing you have to understand is that typically, as human beings and as Christians, we avoid that work. We don't want to do that work because that work is scary. Because we believe if we do that work, we might end up somewhere over here that we didn't want to be. But in order to put you at ease, I will say two things. One, God's going to take care of you even if you do some work that's hard. And He's not going to let your life run off the rails. Your faith in Jesus is like bowling, except with bumpers. You're going to knock down pins. He's got your back. You're not going to mess it up. And secondly, Jesus makes the claim in the Gospels. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He doesn't say, you shall know the truth, and then you're screwed. He says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Three more things. Sorry, they're short. Three more things. When you read the Old Testament, and God is telling people to kill their babies, and that doesn't look like Jesus, because if I asked you to kill your babies, you wouldn't do it. And when you read that and it doesn't look like Jesus, you have three things you can do. I'm going to propose. You can do a lot of different things, but I'm going to propose three things, and you can think about them, okay? You can question the morality of God, and you can say this: perhaps sometimes God is just a monster. And God is God, and God can do whatever God wants, and so I just am going to surrender to that. That's one thing you can do. It does have consequences, but you can make that choice and you can read the Bible that way. God just does what God wants to do, and I'm not going to question it, and if I think it looks monstrous, that's God does what God wants to do. You can make that choice. The second thing you can do is you can question the big word, immutability of God. You can say, maybe God does change. God changed his mind with Moses. He was going to eat a bunch of people with the earth, and Moses changed his mind. Maybe God does change, and God was like this, and now God's like this. Maybe Jesus changed God's mind. Maybe God changes. You can do that. There's some consequences also if you do that, probably with your own security and relationship. But the third thing you can do is this. You can question how you read the Scripture. We can question how we read the Scripture. Could it be that we need to learn to read the Bible in a different way? I'm not going to call God a monster, not because I think it's wrong, but because I just don't think that's the path I want to take for the next 8 weeks. I'm also not going to say, let's just say God changes all the time, like us. I'm going to take the approach of, maybe we can learn to read the Bible differently than we were taught. Not differently and crazy, not let's go jump off a cliff reading our Bibles, but maybe we can just read it a little differently under some new premises. And one of those premises is, God is like Jesus. God has always been like Jesus. We have not always known this throughout human history, but we do now. So when Jesus comes in and says, I came to fulfill, he's meaning things. The final two things I want to do to set up this premise for our conversations, which are really monologues of me talking to you, but they feel like a conversation because you're listening. You just never get to respond back until afterwards when you can email me and you can say, we are leaving Edison Chapel because you said this, which happens. It's never happened here. I'm thankful, but it's happened in other places. The last two things I'll leave you with is from the book study that some of our friends are doing. The name of God that is most widely used throughout the entire Bible, more than any other name in the Bible, is I Am or Yahweh. God tells Moses his name. Who shall I say sent me? I Am, Yahweh. That name has been translated in our Bibles, and you need to do your own research on this, because I'm just going to tell you it, and then you can tell me I'm wrong or tell me I'm right, but you're really arguing with Anna at this point, because she's leading the book study. I lost my train of thought, because I was trying to be funny. Oh, Yahweh has been translated in a Bibles we read as a title. It's been translated to the Lord. I am the Lord, a title, an endearing, respectful term. But Yahweh is translated in the Hebrew Scriptures, and what it was meant to be was a name. God was telling Moses God's name. Who shall I say sent me? Steve. Who shall I say sent me? Philip. Who shall I say sent me? Yahweh. That is my name. Not, who shall I sent me? Mighty One, Defender of the Armies of the North. No, that's a title. And Yahweh has some very feminine, motherly, defending qualities to it that says, I will hold you in my wings. I will wrap you in my arms. I will sing over you. I will protect you. There's a feminine quality to Yahweh that says, I am your father and your mother. I am the one who's caring for you. I am walking with you. I am your God. Can you see how a little bit of missing that can cause a huge distinction error? And so we get to the point where when you read the Old Testament, and this is from God Behaving Badly, the book as well, the people who were closest, the prophets who were closest to God, they spent time in the scriptures. They spent time reading what they had for whatever time period it was, and that was spending time with God on the mountains, and they were studying, and they were engaging, and they were talking with God. And the scriptures that they had to do all of this work that drew them close to God was what? Does anybody know? The Old Testament. Or maybe not even all of the Old Testament. Really depends on the time period. And out of that, studying the scriptures of Yahweh, we develop some prophecies leading us to Jesus, who then spent a lot of time with God away from people doing the same thing, studying the Old Testament. And out of all of that comes a message that Jesus gives us on how to live. Jesus wasn't making up a new thing. He was drawing out of what was so that the new thing could happen. Because the way that everyone was understanding God didn't quite work. And so Jesus, Isaiah would say, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Can you not see it? Can you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert. I'm making streams in the wasteland. Isaiah prophesies Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes, he reads out of the scroll of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to declare freedom for the captives. There's something unique happening that is drawing out of the scriptures that Yahweh gave so that people could embrace this thing called Jesus. God is like Jesus. God has always been like Jesus, and we have not always understood this, but now we do. So we have a lens when we read this stuff to ask ourselves, okay, here's what I think's happening. Here's what I feel like's happening. I'm going to choose to not just throw it in the trash. God tells people to kill babies. I'm not just going to throw that in the trash. I'm going to say, what's really happening? What is Yahweh doing? Because I can know one thing. God is like Jesus. And God's always been like Jesus. And I haven't always treated it like that, but I will now. Does this make sense? How am I doing? Am I doing all right? If you read the Old Testament like Israel, and you take the God you thought you knew, and then later you're introduced to Jesus, you're going to have to try to fit him in. And you're going to come up with weird theories. And there, I just read like three of them to you. There's many more. But if you can understand that God is like Jesus, and he's always been like Jesus, we can begin to engage with the Bible in a way that draws us closer to God and closer to Jesus, and we can trust that as we do that, we're embracing a calling that we are to know God more. And as we know more of Him and more about who Yahweh is, we will know that truth, and that truth will bring freedom to our lives. This has been kept from you, and you've kept it from yourself. But now we can do the work together. And I'm happy to do it. I'm excited to do it. I'm excited to dive into specific passages. I'm excited to do overarching things. Because I love to read about this stuff. So you guys won't even have to read if you don't want. I'll just share everything I'm reading. But anytime I'm sharing something and you're saying, I want more of that, I will give you the materials. I will point you in the directions. You can do your own research as well. All right? Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you that we can dive into your word deeply over this next series. And thank you that you have always been like Jesus, God. And that we haven't always treated it like that, but we're going to do our very best to do that now so that we can understand you and what you're doing in this world and in our lives. In your name, amen.